wonderful time of the year. And yet some people are, I know even some, a few, not many, but some Christians that don't like celebrating Christmas. I don't understand it. I don't try to figure it out. If the world wants to take one day a year, and even though they secularize it, and they do, if they want to take one day of the year to honor the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I say praise God. I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Book of Hebrews, chapter 1. My message this morning is the God of Hebrews. Hebrews was written to prepare Israel for the fall of Jerusalem and to explain the Old Testament sacrifices, to which there were many, that they were attached to the one-time sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that in that one sacrifice, all the other sacrifices were fulfilled. Hebrews chapter 1. We don't know who the author of the book of Hebrews is. Today I'm not going to speak about who wrote the book of Hebrews, but about the subject of the God of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, the Bible says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This morning, the God of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, what a great God we serve. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We know that it ever liveth. We know, Father, it's a living, breathing book, and it has life. And we know, Lord, that we are saved by the word of God. We are kept by the word of God. And by the word of God, all things consist in this universe. And Lord, you are powerful, and we acknowledge that this morning. We ask you to have your will and way in our lives. And search our hearts this morning, and we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And all the people that love God said, amen. This book of Hebrews was also written. Yeah, I like it when I hear you say amen. That really winds me up a little. Amen. So you want me to preach better, just surprise me once in a while with an amen. God will bless you, and God will bless me. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Book of Hebrews was also written because Hebrew believers were starting to fall into apostasy and going back to their old religion when they got discouraged. And you know what? 2,000 years have gone by, and some Christians still have that tendency, when the going gets rough, to get their eyes off Christ, their eyes off the Word of God, and they start thinking for themselves and say, you know what? Maybe it wasn't so bad before I became a, quote, Christian. They go back to their old church, their old religion, their old ways. And you know, Bible says that the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Sin will lie to us. Sin will convince us of lies. And we need to always be careful about the things of God. And God's word is always true. That message should ring in our mind and ring in our heart, no matter how we feel, no matter what the circumstances of life. God's word is always true. It can be depended upon no matter what goes on in our life. You know, an airplane pilot, if he trusts in those, Richie, I'm looking at you. If he trusts in his instrument panel, it doesn't matter how he feels about the weather. It doesn't matter if he thinks he's flying upside down. But the instrument says that even though there are clouds around his plane, he trusts the instrument panel. This is our instrument panel. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The Word of God is true. You can pout about it. You can feel sorry for yourself. But God's word is true. And God doesn't take sides. Did you know that? Religions are debating all the time. God is on my side. The Lutherans say God's on my side. The Presbyterians say God's on my side. The Baptists say God's on my side. God doesn't take sides. He says to the world, be on my side. Amen. Well, where am I? I'm halfway through my message. I'd like to share with you just a few thoughts from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Number one, that God is the God of announcements. Verse number 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Many want to debate God. God's not into debating. God's into making announcements. God is the God of proclamation. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. At the baptism of Christ, the heavens opened, and the voice from God Almighty came down. It said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Take it or leave it, world. That's the way it is. That's good preaching. At the transfiguration of Christ, he was transfigured before his disciples. Purest white. Peter, big mouth Peter speaking. Wild big mouth Peter. At that point, he was big mouth. Let's face it. He was far from the polished person he was when he wrote the scriptures. He's talking about building three tabernacles, three altars. One for you, one for those prophets. And while he's speaking, God Almighty interrupts him and says, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Listen to him. Be quiet, Peter. Listen to him. He's my Son. God's the God. That's all I'm saying this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is God is the God of announcements. Look at Genesis chapter 17, please. Verses 1 through 4. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, feeling old this morning? The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made unto thee. You can read the rest of it. It's great reading. Great reading because it's God's word. All I'm saying this morning is God is the God of announcements. Amen. God is the God of announcements. We think of the birth of Christ. He sends an angel in Luke chapter 1. Let's look there. Aren't you glad that God makes announcements? Sometimes our announcements are lengthy at church, and sometimes we probably say more than's necessary. We know you can read. That's my joke of the day, so it didn't go over well. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was what? Sent from God. Another announcement's coming. Amen. Unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, God is the God of announcements. God does not defend himself. God does not debate himself. God simply declares himself. And God defines himself. We also find in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 2 that God is the God of appointments. Let me find Hebrews again. I'm all over the place this morning, folks. Notice verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Thank God that God is a God of appointments. In the appointed time, he stepped down from glory, all the way down, down to earth, down in the likeness of man, to die on a cross, so that you and I could have our sins purged, atoned for, totally forgiven by the gift of God, by the grace of God. Thank God he made that appointment. How many appointments do we really make or want to make? How many of you got a to-do list at home? How many of you got a list to find your to-do list? I got like three lists. I got one for my study and one for my car and one for my home. And some appointments I keep and some I don't keep. And some I forget about, but thank God that God is a God of appointments. And when he makes an appointment that's important, he keeps it. Thank God he came to earth on time. And he died on time, and he rose on time, and he's coming again one of these days. Guess what? Right on time. And the world's going to have to try to figure out what in the world happened. They could call it terrorism. They can call it UFOs. They can call it whatever they want. But millions of people are going to suddenly disappear when they hear that trumpet sound. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those cemeteries are going to open up. Those people that knew the Lord before they died are going to open up. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's comforting to a Christian. It terrorizes an unbeliever. And it should. But there's no reason for them to be in unbelief. The only thing standing between them and heaven is their stubborn will and their love of sin and self. Well, I'm pretty good the way I am. I'm not a mugger. I'm not a drug addict. I'm not a harlot. Listen, if you're born in this world, you must be born again. Sin is in the bloodline. In Adam, all sin. It doesn't matter how nice you look. If you've got blood purging in your veins, if you're human, you must be born again. God does not have grandchildren. I love grandchildren. Mrs. Janky loves grandchildren. What have you been planning for Christmas? Hey! Hi, dear. Only good things. Thank you, Bob. Good amen. But God doesn't have grandchildren. God only has children. And your parents' faith won't help you. You need one of your own. If you're born in a Christian home, you ought to thank God for it. And you need a faith of your own. Yes, he stepped down from glory to the cross. He suffered death for the curse of sin. He was willing to give up all that glory in heaven to suffer the curse of sin and to be a curse on the cross. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Suffering there because he made that appointment in eternity past before the worlds began. Think about that. Before there ever was a world, he agreed to make that appointment. I'm glad that God is a God of order. We're in that chaotic world, but God is a God of order. And God is a God of variety. Someone said God must love the common man. He made so many of them. Amen. Yes, now Jesus reassumes his position as the anointed Christ. In these last days, the final dispensation, the final days in which the affairs of this world are going to be wrapped up and completed. It's like you're wrapping those Christmas presents. The cross is God's final statement to man. God's Son kept that appointment. And he has reassumed his position, and he waits our response. He kept that dreadful, fateful appointment, and now he's honored. And he awaits the response of this world. God makes the announcement. It's up to man to make the decisions. Yes, not only is God the God of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, a God of announcement, a God of appointment, but he is the God of accomplishments. So much he has done. Amen. In verse number 2, the Bible says, by whom also he made the world. All the worlds. He created the world. The Bible says in 6 days. I believe 6 days. Theologians say, oh, how long is a day? 6 days. I don't have a problem with that. And on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. He wasn't tired. Why did he rest? He rested because he wanted to observe all that he had done. And everything he did, behold, it was very good. Do you know there's satisfaction in doing your best? Did you know that, young people? There's satisfaction in you doing your best. Whatever your best is, you do your best, and then you can sit back and enjoy what you've done. Kids today want to start at the top of the ladder. They won't even work unless they can make $50,000 a year. I've been to college. Well, you know what my grandfather's name was Otto. He's German. Came here with his sister from Germany many, many years ago. And he's been gone for 40-some years. If I were to talk to him today, and I'd say, Grandpa, what would you call someone who flips hamburgers? He'd say, I'd call that opportunity. Today's the burgers, tomorrow's the manager. And so on and so forth. There's always room at the top. Did you know that? There's always room at the top. Yes, he created the world. He controls it, the Bible says, by his word. And he commanded and he created all things. Colossians chapter 1 says that by him the worlds were created. He created the inferior and the superior worlds, all things and persons belonging to them, the universe, that includes all space and ages of time and all material and spiritual existences. Amen. And he appointed his Son, heir of all things before the creation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Do you ever have a day where you never seem to get anything done? Say, well, what was the purpose of this day? The flat tire, the dead battery, great-grandma deciding to go for a walk halfway down the block. But God is a God of accomplishments. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16. See, I'm stalling to get there, just like you. Say it. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. You and I were created for his glory. If you're not glorifying him today, he's not pleased. You know what? I don't think God is really much impressed this morning with who the 10 most successful people are from Time Magazine. I don't think he's moved. But all things were created by him. All things are created for him. You know what? He's going to get glory out of your life and mine one way or another. You say, well, how can he get glory out of my life if I won't serve him? Oh, very easily. Very easy. Say, how? Well, he may make you an illustration on somebody's sermon of what not to do. You know what? I can learn from everyone. I could either learn what to do or what not to do. My parents taught me you can learn from people that make mistakes. And they would talk to me about people that made mistakes, kids my age. They'd say, well, how was school today? Oh, great. George went to the principal's office. Boy, that was cool. What did he do? He cheated on the test. Really? He cheated on a test and he went to the principal's office? And what happened to him? Oh, man, he got scolded and he got to stay after school and his parents got to come in. And I even saw George crying at lunchtime. George, the big bully, he was crying. Chris, did you learn anything today? Oh, yeah. Ain't gonna cheat. Not anytime soon, that's for sure. God will get glory out of our life, one way or another. Yes, God is the God of announcements. God is the God of appointments. He's the God of accomplishments. And he's the God of ability. The God of ability. He reveals himself as the living word. He reveals himself as the written word. He reveals himself through this world system to those that want to know him. He'll roll the clouds away. By faith, we can believe upon him and have the assurance that we're passed from death into life. The Bible says he upholds all things by the power of his word. That means he sustains all things. He keeps them going, and he doesn't need any help from man. Sorry, Al Gore. The world's not going to end, and they get the doomsday time clock. All things are sustained by him, upheld by the power of his word. It's not up to man. Man's not going to destroy this world because they brought too much gasoline cars. As you drive an 8-cylinder, you're destroying the planet? I don't think so. You know how foolish that sounds in the right atmosphere? And if you say that in the wrong atmosphere, and people say, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. But they're forgetting one thing, a big thing. Forgetting God. Well, God is the God of ability. He is able to do all things. The Bible says the wisdom of God is foolishness with man. We also find that God is the God of affinity. He reproduced himself in his Son, the brightness of his glory. Jesus was holy and harmless, higher than heaven, the express image of his person in purity and in love. The express image, that phrase, that Greek phrase is from the word that we get, the word character. Boy, we could use some of that today. Just good old-fashioned character. Raising our children right. Raising them to respect authority. Raising them to say yes, please, no, thank you. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir, no, sir. We taught our children to answer the telephone. Say, why? Well, because how would you like someone to try to call you, and the kid answers the phone and says, yeah, ah, and then just leave it down. didn't speak much for parenting. Well, thank you. I thought I lost you there. I remember our children answering the phone, and 8-year-old kid, Yankee residents, can I help you? Dad? Kids, I can't help you. But they learn to answer the telephone. Show some respect. Character training. Parents, character training never stops. All the time, we're on call. We never get off duty for parenting. Yes? God is also, as I said, the God of achievements. He purged our sins. He paid the ransom. He put our sins away. Thank God. His sacrifice atoned for all the sins of the whole world. And here the brightness of God's glory, the express image of God's person. So glorious and so pure, one said, and so pure, and against whom the sins of men are such a foul acts of rebellion, that he would stoop so low and suffer so much to receive pardon and salvation for even his enemies is quite an achievement. Most of us wouldn't die for our enemies. Amen. I had a brand new baby here this morning, and I held it up to you. I said, now think about this baby. How innocent it is. Would any of you think of taking a spike and putting a nail to the hands of this child and nails to the feet of this child so the people that hate him could one day be forgiven and their eternal soul will be given to them? I doubt many of us would say, you can have my son. Put him on the list. But yet God did. What love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We don't understand that kind of love. But it demands an answer. Yes, God is the God of achievements. And he appears at the right hand of God, the Bible says, seated at the right hand of power and position, right in that place, superior to all, sufficient for all, and saves all that will come unto him. That portrays the honor that's bestowed upon him. Mary sits, and he rules the universe today, gives us every breath that we breathe, every heartbeat. Our heart is a gift from the King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords. And we should cherish every day. Every day is a gift. We don't know how many of them we have. I'm still getting over the shock of my son's sister-in-law passing off to be with the Lord at the age of 30. Leaving behind a husband and several children, young children. I don't understand the wisdom of God, but I do know that he knows what's going on. And I also believe that he's in a better place. And I also believe that God has a divine plan for everything and everyone. And we have to trust him. And here he governs the universe. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. He upholds, he sustains, he preserves, and he regulates all things. And I got to say, amen and amen. And he says to the world this morning, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He comes to the world this morning and he says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet. Oh, my scarlet thread's still here from last week. Though it be blaring and red and stands out, it shall be as wool, it shall be white as snow. Yes? If you've never publicly professed faith in him, come today. If you've never been baptized since you believe, come today. You're looking for a church home. I'll come sit with the leader. We'll start heads in prayer, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Sir. Accompaniment plays a verse or two of invitation. This is God's invitation this morning. Father in heaven, we ask you to search our hearts and search our minds this morning. And we know, Father, that the children are special to you. And Father, we ask you to move in our hearts and have your will done in our life. Perhaps there's someone here this morning, Lord, that you have stripped them of their self-righteousness and what they've been trusting in. I pray, Father, you show them that if they were born in this world, they must be born again without question. It matters not how good they are in the eyes of man. They need the new birth. They need the Holy Spirit to live inside of them. They need their sins purged and accounted to the cross of Calvary. May your will be done this morning. We pray in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen.